This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. In the last weeks of his presidency, Barack Obama established the Bears Ears National Monument in Utah under the authority of the Antiquities Act. But very quickly after Donald Trump began his tenure, that decision was being reviewed. In late April, Trump signed an executive order authorizing his Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, to review dozens of national monument designations, including Bears Ears. Trump called the designations, quote, another egregious abuse of federal power and, quote, a massive federal land grab. Fossil fuel and other energy industry groups have long opposed the Antiquities Act, seeing it as standing in the way of their extraction of natural resources and, of course, their profits. Zinke, in a recent visit to Bears Ears, was confronted by Native American activists, including my guest, about why he has not yet met with the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition. My guest is Cassandra B. Gay. She's a Native American activist and a tribal liaison for the group PANDOS, which stands for Peaceful Advocate for Native Dialogue and Organizing Support. Secretary Zinke told her to, quote, be nice when she confronted him during his recent visit to Bears Ears. Welcome to the program, Cassandra.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, the designation itself by Obama of Bear Ears National Monument was years in the making. I understand that many groups, both sort of outdoor recreation groups, but also indigenous groups and tribes, lobbied the government for years to have it designated as a federal monument. Why? Why is Bear Ears so important?
Yeah, so you're right. Five tribes came together. Originally, the elders, the Native American elders in that area in San Juan County in Utah, came forward and asked their leaders to get this land protected and preserved so that their cultural heritage would be protected and preserved from extraction of minerals and gas and oil, because a lot of Native American artifacts, cliff dwellings, herds, animals, a lot of their traditional way of life is intertwined with the land, and a lot of their spirituality and the way they connect with their ancestors is in that represented in that land and their relationship with the land. So they wanted to make sure that their artifacts and the cliff dwellings and the plants and the landscape was protected. So that was really important to the elders. And the tribal leaders wanted to help with that and honor the elders. So they put together a proposal, and a lot of the community in that area supported the Native American community and the tribal leaders and the sovereign nations that were asking for the monument. And so it took about 7 years from that point to bring the community together, to work really hard and diligently together. And some of these tribes were actually rivals in the past, but they were able to set aside their differences and work collaboratively together to get the designation over the course of almost a decade.
Can you explain a little bit about the reason for the battle on the ground and also in D.C.? Now, on the ground, San Juan County, which is where the Bear Ears National Monument lies, I understand is about a half Native American, half white. The New York Times says whites hold much of the political power. A lot of the white residents feel that the designation of the Bear Ears National Monument in Utah infringes on their ability to profit from the land and see the federal government stepping in as a violation of states' rights. And we've seen the elected officials from Utah also oppose strongly the Antiquities Act for that same reason, and they backed Donald Trump in his bid for president, and Trump's review of Bear Ears seems in some ways to be a reward for the Utah delegation's loyalty to him. So what exactly is the fight? Why exactly is there opposition to Bear Ears being designated a national monument?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the Utah representatives and the some of the community there want to look to the extraction of certain minerals and resources like gas and oil to create jobs in that area. Now, a lot of the Utah state representatives, they are pushing for extraction all the time here in the state of Utah, and they're always looking for different ways to extract different resources. And so I think what's happening is the community feels, some of the community feels afraid that it's going to prevent them from having more jobs. And so they're a little bit fearful of that. Also, they claim that the federal government is overreaching their boundaries and they're out of line in that they designated this area as a sort of a land grab. But if you really look at the actual national monument, only 12,000 acres belong to the state of Utah. That's privately owned by the state of Utah of the 1.35 million acres. If you look at the local community, over 50% of the general population are Native American. And of that general population, the elders and the tribal leaders who are elected officials of those Native American community represent 80% of the Native American community in that area. So these are tribal leaders that were elected officials that represent 80% of the Native American community in San Juan County who are in support of the monument.
So it's a Navajo Nation has, it's basically its entire territory in that area or next near that area. Let's talk about Secretary Ryan Zinke's visit. Now, Trump is ordering, in his executive order, has asked for a review of national monument designation since 1996. So we're talking about dozens of monuments. And this is something that presidents, yeah. you know, presidents through the Antiquities Act, which was established by Franklin Roosevelt, presidents have been able to have a lot of authority to designate national monuments. Obama did the same thing. In fact, I believe Obama did more designations than any other president since Roosevelt. And so Trump is ordering a review of all national monument designations since 1996. And his Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, seems to have singled out Bear Ears out of a large number of other monuments, right?
Yeah, he's been ordered within 45 days of that executive order being issued. Within 45 days, he had to come to some kind of review and report back to Trump immediately on Bears Ears. I think because it's the most recently and most controversial designation. And so I think that's kind of why they kind of wanted to act a little bit more aggressively on that. But the Antiquities Act protects the designation of national monuments. And so the way I understand is that the tribes, if they do try to touch any part of the national monument, are prepared to go to court and protect that land, it's going to be a very challenging process if they do decide to shrink or undo the monument as it is protected by the Antiquities Act.
Right, and so it remains to be seen if Trump even has the authority to rescind the designation. You mentioned the 45-day review, but that's just for Bears Ears. Other monuments have 120 days for that decision to be made. Let's talk about what happened when Secretary Zinke visited Bears Ears. Tell us about that particular incident. You confronted him, and the confrontation was caught on tape, and he didn't like your attitude, it seems like. He told you to, quote, be nice. And in a minute, we'll watch that video, but why don't you tell us what happened?
Yeah, so I'm an organizer for Native American to help elevate the Native American voice. And I drove across from Salt Lake City all the way down to the Bears Ears region, which is a couple hours for me. I wanted to ask him because I was really worried about him spending the majority of his time with people who are against the monument, and he had only spent about an hour up until that point after the tribal coalition flew out to DC to knock on his door and request time, because he'd been denying meeting requests from the sovereign nations. He'd been denying meeting requests from the stakeholders around Bears Ears National Monument. And so it was just very worrisome that he had not been spending enough time with them or listening to them. And so I wanted to go ask him to hold him accountable as a public servant, if he had other plans to actually visit with the communities, the Native American communities that asked for the monument there in the Bears Ears region, which is south of Blanding in the Bluff area. And so he, when I asked him these questions, he quickly pivoted around, and he in a sort of way, he kind of lunged at me. And, you know, to put it into perspective, he's about 6'3", 6'4". He towers over me. I'm only 5'2". And he kind of shoved the lady out of the way in front of him. And my heart started racing, because this was, I didn't expect this from an appointed official who works in the Trump cabinet. And wagged his fingers in my face in a very condescending and belittling way and told me to be nice. That was his response to me when I was asking if he had more plans to spend more time with the tribal spiritual advisors and tribal leaders that had asked for this monument in the actual Bears Ears monument while he was there, so that they could show him the antiquities of the monument and why it was important them to have this land protected and preserved. And just taken really back by his reaction. And I've kind of, what I think is the reason he reacted that way is because I figured he was under a lot of pressure to arrive at a conclusion that was already predetermined. You know, he said he was there on a listening tour where he was listening to everybody, but it was very much one-sided. He spent the majority of the time with the governor of the state of Utah. Most of the visit was orchestrated by the state of Utah. He flew around on private helicopters with them. He hiked the trails at Bears Ears with the governor and the commissioners of the county who were against the monument. And so the majority of his time was spent with people against the monument.
And so half the population being Native American, he didn't meet with any official representatives of that entire population?
He did not meet with the tribal leaders, who are elected officials of the 7 chapter houses. Let me make sure this is clear, that he denied the request of the tribal leaders of the chapter houses, of the 7 chapter houses of the Navajo Nation there, and the stakeholders. He denied the request to visit with them. So it was just very worrisome that he didn't actually walk through the monument with the Native American communities that wanted the monument, right, and that created the proposal
in the first place, right? In fact, so let's watch the video of your confrontation with Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. This is my guest, Cassandra Begay, this was a recording that she did when she basically asked the secretary to meet with those representatives.
Is there a reason why you're not listening to tribal leaders or respecting or honoring tribal sovereignty? There are many tribal leaders here. Zinke, is there a reason why you're not listening to tribal leaders? Sir, there are many tribal leaders here.
I think there's tribal leaders. How are you?
When are you going to meet with the tribal leaders? It's kind of unfair that you've only met with them for 1 hour, sir. Is there a reason why you're not listening to them more? Zinke, are you going to visit with the tribes more?
Nice.
I'm so nice.
Be nice.
Oh, okay.
Don't be rude. Thank you.
Be nice, don't be rude, is what Secretary Ryan Zinke said to my guest, Cassandra Begay. Now, let's talk about what exactly is there, what exactly needs to happen between now and the next really couple of months before this decision, or less than a month before this decision is made, right? 45 days from when President Trump signed the executive order in late April is when Zinke has to make a decision whether to rescind the national monument designation. What needs to happen? Is there a way, are you calling on the public to confront through letters and phone calls the secretary?
Yeah, so we have until May 26. At this point, the review is open to public comment. So people can make their public comments to Interior Secretary Zinke by getting online. They can write him letters. They can call him. You can go to utahdenebkea.org and submit your comments there. But it is open to public comment at this point up until May 26. So to take action, to make sure that your voice is heard, you want to make sure that you're writing him letters, getting online. His Twitter, he seems to be responsive to Twitter. We can get on there and voice your opinion on protecting the monument. And this is not just for Bears Ears. I mean, it's for all national monuments. A lot of the public lands that are protected under the designation of national monument are in danger, are being threatened since the ones designated since 1996. So this is a lot of public land that's being threatened to be, you know, potentially extract a lot of resources, a lot of gas, oil, and so ultimately we want to make sure that people are voicing themselves by getting online and writing him letters and submitting comments for the next up until May 26.
Now, Cassandra, it seems as though what is playing out in Utah over the designation of Bears Ears is really related to the origins of this country. You know, we've had basically settler colonialism and the theft of native lands, and that battle over who gets to control the land and for what purpose seems to be what's playing out in Utah. And on top of that, of course, we've got the very clear interests. You know, we've got the American Petroleum Institute wants to re-examine the Antiquities Act. And it's basically, you know, the monument is seen, the natural beauty and the spaces are simply seen as resources to be exploited by this extractive industry that is dying. Is it fair to put this battle that's playing out in Utah within this lens, within this framework?
Absolutely. You know, as Native American people, we have been struggling for a very long time through systems of genocide and oppression and fighting for what's rightfully ours. Currently, there are a lot of tribes who are fighting the federal government in court for some of these wrongs that have been done, for some of these lands that have been stolen. You know, recently, I was just right in the area for protests. Where the Ute Mountain Ute tribal members were protesting the only open uranium mill in the United States. It is a struggle for us. You know, me being a Native American woman, I grew up on an Indian reservation. I also went to a boarding school. And these systems of oppression were meant to erase me and my identity and my ancestors. But I think what you see happening, you know, with Standing Rock and Bears Ears is that the tribes are standing up and they're trying to make sure that their voices are heard. I think that there's a lot of resiliency, and I think that there's a lot of strong Indigenous people who are coming up, and they are making sure that they're fighting and resisting this suppression and oppression. You know, like I said, this particular monument, five sovereign nations came together who at one point were rivals in the past, some of them, and they put aside these rivals and these differences to come together and work really hard to get their land protected. So the designation of Bears Ears National Monument in a lot of ways is a way for us as Native American people to reclaim our power, to protect and preserve our cultural heritage, our ancestor, our histories, our our spiritual ways and our religious ways of life and how we connect and identify with those lands. And so for me as a Native American woman, you know, growing up on a boarding school and going to an Indian reservation, and now being an organizer to help elevate that Native American voice and be an advocate, it's just really disappointing to see Interior Secretary Zinke treat me that way, because it was very condescending. And it seems to be a pattern with the Trump administration where they have a lot of special interest in coal and gas and different resources. It seems like there's a huge disconnect between their relationship with Mother Earth in the name of greed, in the name of money, and their special interests. And so
it's so interesting, it of course, like, to hear Trump talk about the designation of national monuments as a federal land grab. I mean, the federal government is funded by the public. How can it be a federal land grab if these designations protect the land for the public? If anything, undoing the designation would end up being a kind of a land grab by corporate interests and by fossil fuel and industry, right?
Correct. These lands are public lands for public use for all human beings, which is why the Native American population and the sovereign nations and the Native American spiritualizers and elders in that area asked for it to be protected for future generations, for our children, for future communities, future people, you know, for future people to use.
And interestingly, and so, Trump is echoing that same language when he said that he wants to give the power back to the states and for the people where, and to the people where it belongs. He's basically saying that he doesn't like the idea of transferring state land to the federal government, and that he wants the power to go back to the people. But which people, I suppose, is the big question.
Yeah, that's a good question. I just know personally of Trump in that he's not a very honest person, because I've been to Standing Rock, and I was at the Dakota Access Pipeline protest. And when he pushed through the executive order when he became president, to push through the Dakota Access Pipeline, he said in public forum, he said, "Oh, I never received a phone call about Dakota Access Pipeline. You wouldn't even have thought it was controversial." But it was one of the largest protests in United States history of Native Americans. And so, you know, he's lying through his teeth. He also, he's been known to have invested in the Dakota Access Pipeline. He's also pushing through Keystone. And so it seems like he has a lot of personal interest in a lot of these pipelines and projects. And so I think there's definitely a pattern that we're seeing with him listening and favoring people who are for extraction right. of oil and gas and coal. In fact, Interior Secretary Zinke, after his visit to Bearzer's National Monument, he went to the Crow Nation, and they approved a coal mine operation, and they used verbiage on, you know, on his Twitter. He said, you know, "We're really happy to meet with the Crow Nation. There has been a war that has been waged on coal mining, and so we're happy to approve this coal mine." And so they went ahead and approved a coal mine operation for the Crow Nation. And so the visit there, he was really, you know, he was very happy to meet with the Crow Nation, because they were wanting to open a coal mine. As long as you're for coal, as long as you're for gas, as long as you're for oil extraction, then they are on your side. But if you're against that, then it seems like they're going to do the best that they can to look like they're listening to you, but they're going to ultimately suppress your voice.
Well, Cassandra, I want to thank you so much for joining us. You gave out a website earlier where people can send letters to to Secretary Zinke. Can you give out that website again?
Yeah, it's utahdenebkea.org/public-comment.
And we'll put a link to that from our website later today. Cassandra, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Wonderful. Thank you.
My guest is Cassandra Begay, a Native American activist and a tribal liaison for the group PANDOS, which stands for Peaceful Advocate for Native Dialogue and Organizing. Secretary Zinke told her to be nice when she confronted him during his recent visit to Bears Ears National Monument in Utah. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.